Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. During the coronavirus pandemic, we are worshiping exclusively online. This is a recording of our service. Thank you for joining us. Good morning and welcome to worship with Covenant Presbyterian Church. Thank you for worshiping at home or wherever you are with us today. A special welcome to any guests who are worshiping with us this morning because your home churches are not online or are not able to be online live, or simply because you need an extra word of hope right now. I hope that you hear an extra word of hope as we worship together today. Please be aware, next Sunday, April 5th, will be the first Sunday of the month, and as is our practice, we will be sharing communion, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, together as we worship next Sunday. We will be doing that online, of course, and you will need to supply your own elements for communion next Sunday. Be ready with a small piece of bread and a small cup of juice, or if you don't have bread or juice on hand, just get as close as you can. In our tradition, we understand Christ to be spiritually present with us, not because of the material that we share together, but through the act of sharing communion together. Our order of service this morning will follow our ordinary pattern. We'll gather with a hymn and a prayer of confession, a gift of music, a scripture reading, and a meditation, followed by another hymn. We will share prayers of the people and the Lord's Prayer and an invitation to offer our lives and our gifts to God. Then we will share in a closing hymn and a benediction, followed by our congregational response. The written order of worship was shared with you by email on Friday. If you want to be sure you're on that email list, please email church@wdmcovenant.org. Everything you need to see will be on your screen this morning, so we invite you to center yourselves for worship as we gather. We will also share prayer requests together later in the service. To share prayer requests, you can email church@wdmcovenant.org, send us a Facebook message, or the easiest way to get prayer requests to us right now is to comment on this live video. Laura Schieber is monitoring the comments, and she will get prayer requests to me as soon as she gets those. So I invite you to begin worship this morning with a deep breath. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The restoration of all things is near. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom comes through suffering and rejection. Let us take up our cross and follow the Son of God. Our first hymn this morning is What Wondrous Love Is This?
Thank you.
Every Sunday when we're gathered together, we pour water into the baptismal font as a reminder that the grace given to us in baptism assures us that we can always enter God's presence with humble confidence. Our call to confession this morning: God caused the one who did not know sin to become sin for our sake, so that through him we could become the righteousness of God. Let us be reconciled to God. God of mercy, you sent Jesus Christ to seek and save the lost. We confess that we have strayed from you and turned aside from your way. We are misled by pride, for we see ourselves pure when we are stained and great when we are small. We have failed in love, neglected justice, and ignored your truth. Have mercy, O God, and forgive our sin. Return us to paths of righteousness through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Look, now is the right time. Look, now is the day of salvation. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and reconciled to God. Beloved siblings, children of God, we greet one another. The peace of Christ be with you. William Beyer offers a gift of music to us this morning. This is the Enigma Variations number 9. I asked you for help with our show and tell this morning. The show and tell is when we gather, especially the kids, to the front of the sanctuary and share with everybody a picture or an object or something to help us connect to the scripture reading that we'll be sharing in just a moment. So I asked you for signs of spring this week to get out and take some pictures of what spring looks like where you are. Some of our members are in settings where they can't get out to enjoy gardens and yards and trees that are beginning to show all of those signs of spring. And we are all living with stress and uncertainty that can make it really hard to recognize what's new and hopeful and possible during this time. So I want to thank everybody who went out to find those signs of spring, who sent in pictures so that we could share some of these signs of spring together. These are trees and flowers and other plants that listen really deeply to the world around them. They take the temperature from below the soil, and the temperature below the surface of the soil doesn't jump up and down as fast as the air temperature does. And when the soil temperature is right, regardless of what the air temperature is at that particular moment, when the soil temperature is right, those new shoots come up out of the ground, and the buds on the trees and the shrubs, they get ready to burst open. There are different right temperatures for different plants. And so I invite you to pay attention to what the plants are doing in the places where you walk and in the places where you might be able to be outside. And for those who are not able to be outside, I invite those who are able to be outside to share those pictures, to share those stories, to tell your friends and your neighbors what is going on outside in the world as it prepares for spring and as we prepare for new birth and new hope in our world. When we read the scripture this morning, I invite you to listen for where Jesus talks about plants growing leaves and showing us that spring is near. Please join me in a prayer for illumination. God of power, Jesus opens the way for us to live in your kingdom. Give us your Holy Spirit so we can hear his call and respond with service. For your service sets us free. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning finds Jesus in Jerusalem during that final week before his death. In fact, it's still Tuesday of that final week. This is, I think, the third Sunday in a row that it's been Tuesday of Jesus' final week before his death. Jesus has been debating with the religious leaders in this process that seems to echo the ritual examination of the Passover sacrifice. Jesus has been pointing to the ways that those religious leaders and their religious institutions exploit people who live in poverty and seem to actively resist when God is doing something new. And honestly, I've been trying really hard not to take this argument personally. All this has been in the context of the temple. The temple in Jerusalem, like all religious institutions, has all the same problems that all religious institutions have. It has ways of exploiting those who are in poverty. It has ways of resisting the new things God is doing, and yet it is the place where the people would gather the center of people's devotional lives. So naturally, the disciples are all very impressed with the temple. And Jesus has words for the disciples as well. Here is Mark chapter 13. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." You know, I kind of preferred it when Jesus just answered questions with other questions. Today, he's answering questions with this caution about every answer anyone might provide to any question. Jesus goes on, we're going to skip a few verses here. He goes on to talk about the disciples being arrested and put on trial and betrayed. He's going to talk about division among families. He's going to talk about the disciples experiencing everything that in just a little bit of narrative time, Jesus is going to experience as well. And he's going to remind them that you can't trust anyone who says that they have all the answers. And then the reading resumes at verse 24. Jesus said, "But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey, when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each one with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So to sum everything up, everything we once counted on will pass away until only Jesus is left. That sounds not so much like some kind of supernatural prophetic foresight. It sounds more like trend spotting. Jesus was speaking at a time when the Roman imperial system and the religious institutions that were co-opted by that imperial system, they were bound to collapse. They were on this collision course with each other and with the needs of the people, and they collapsed pretty soon after Jesus said these words, which is kind of like reading this story, in which Jesus is talking about the end of the world right while it feels like the world may be ending around us. Our anxiety about all of the ways that normal has gone away, our anxiety about that points to the ways that we already knew that our way of life in this world was built on some fragile assumptions. Maybe not the same assumptions that we think are being challenged here, but still, the ways that we have lived in the world have been turned on their head during this time. We used to assume, many of us, that everything basically works for basically everyone. And I know I have operated under that assumption. But people of color, people in poverty, people who are marginalized because of their sexuality, their gender identity, their religious status, many others beg to differ. This crisis is not a new crisis for everyone, even if it's new to me. When Jesus talks about everything collapsing, he's talking about everything collapsing because in so many ways it already was. Everyone knew it, and Jesus just had the nerve to say it. And so as we live in this time when it seems like everything is on its head, we are now joining with those for whom everything has been upside down for a very long time. And I hope that that means that when we come back together, we will come back together differently. That we will come back together as different people in a different way of being that is closer to the kingdom of God. All along, all the way from the beginning of Mark's gospel, way back in January when we first gathered together around this particular book, Jesus has been talking about the kingdom of God. He's been talking about the ways that God would have the world be. And he's been teaching about that in ways that have consistently disrupted the ways that the world already is. Disrupting that world in order to bring the kingdom of God a little bit closer. To bring something new to birth. Did you catch that image? Jesus pointed to all of this disruption that his own followers would experience in their own lives and said, remember, this is like the beginning of birth pangs. I don't know birth pangs personally, but I know the feeling of sitting at the end of a runway, hearing the engines of the airplanes spool up as we get ready to rocket down that runway. I've felt that many different times, of course. I'm not a particularly anxious flyer. That moment, I always sort of catch my breath again, but I'm thinking of a particular runway and a couple of particular flights. A flight that would begin a journey to Korea for Leanne and me to go and become parents ourselves. And as those of you who have become parents know, once you've done that, you don't go back. You're in that new reality. And there's a moment. There's a moment when you are leaving that old reality behind and that new reality is making its way into your life. That's that beginning of the birth pangs that Jesus talked about. That's those engines for me spooling up at the end of a runway to take off and go into a new life and a new world. And that's an anxious moment. This is an anxious moment. We are in an anxious moment when there will be pain and suffering, not because God decided there should be pain and suffering, but because that's the direction the world has been pointing. And we and our neighbors will experience that for a while yet. And Jesus invites us to be attentive not only to the pain and the suffering, to minister to others during that, but to be attentive to the possibility that this is a new birth, the possibility that something new is being born in our world today. Jesus invites us to see what might be born among us. It might be a community where we see our neighbors all over again as essential partners in building a life that we share together. It could be days where we have the space to respond to needs that we couldn't predict, much less control. It could be ongoing relationships with people whose phone calls you've found yourself depending on, or whose phone calls you've found yourself craving. It could be church buildings that can sit empty even on Easter Sunday. Church buildings that can sit empty because the mission of the church has always been outside those buildings too, out in the world that we share, that we bless in Jesus' name. Jesus knows that everything we are used to will be undone, whether it happens in a single moment of crisis like this or happens slowly over the course of time. But Jesus invites us to see that undoing not as simply an end, but to see it as the beginning of something new. He invites us to see this pain as birth pangs, when the whole creation will be shaken and Jesus himself will be opened up to give birth to the kingdom of God. On the church calendar, we are 2 weeks from seeing how that story completes that new beginning for us, when we see Jesus give birth to a new reality through death and resurrection, when we see the redemption of the world being born through Jesus' death and resurrection. I didn't invent that connection. Jesus is making that connection right here. St. Paul makes that connection in his letters. And St. Anselm, an 11th century theologian, made that connection as well. I'm going to close with a prayer that draws on that metaphor from the Gospels and from Paul's letters. Anselm was writing in the 11th century at a time when the connection Jesus makes between childbirth and death was a much closer connection. Anselm writes this in his prayer: "And you, Jesus, are you not also a mother? Are you not the mother who, like a hen, gathers her chickens under her wings? Truly, Lord, you are a mother, for both they who are in labor and they who are brought forth are accepted by you. You have died more than they, that they may labor to bear. It is by your death that they have been born. For if you had not been in labor, you could not have borne death. And if you had not died, you would not have brought forth. For longing to bear sons into life, you tasted of death, and by dying you begot them. You did this in your own self, your servants by your commands and help. You as the author, they as the ministers, so you, Lord God, are the great mother. And you, my soul, dead in yourself, run under the wings of Jesus, your mother, and lament your griefs under his feathers. Ask that your wounds may be healed, and that comforted you may live again. Christ, my mother, you gather your chickens under your wings. this dead chicken of yours puts himself under those wings. For by your gentleness, the badly frightened are comforted. By your sweet smell, the despairing are revived. Your warmth gives life to the dead. Your touch justifies sinners. Mother, know again your dead son, both by the sign of your cross and the voice of his confession. Warm your chicken. Give life to your dead man. Justify your sinner. Let your terrified one be consoled by you. Despairing of himself, let him be comforted by you. And in your whole and unceasing grace, let him be refashioned by you. For from you flows consolation for sinners, to you the blessing for ages and ages. Amen. Our second hymn this morning is Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed? Our work together this morning is to pray. We lift up the joys and the concerns of this world before God. We lift up prayers today for Russ Marshall, who went home yesterday after heart bypass surgery a week ago Thursday. We pray for Russ's continued health and recovery. We pray for Mark Bergman, a neighbor of Lynn Harris, who is recovering from surgery Thursday for lung cancer. We pray for Ray Wilson, the husband of a friend of Lynn Harris, who is continuing to be treated for elevated blood pressure. We pray for Charles Thompson, the brother of Bob Thompson, who is at Mercy Hospital, recovering from heart bypass surgery. We pray for Charles. We pray for the family of Carol Storjahan, who passed away on March 21st. Carol is Rick Storjahan's aunt. We pray for Becky Lalk, who is Barb Storjahan's niece. Becky has serious underlying health concerns and is dealing with a possible case of COVID-19. We pray for Becky. We pray for Celise Konigsdorf, the 4-month-old daughter of a co-worker of Rhonda Barker, Solis is having open heart surgery on Wednesday. I offer a prayer request from my mom, Sherry Wiley. She prays for the congregation she serves at Clearfield Christian Church in Clearfield, Iowa. Clearfield Christian cannot be together, but they join us in love and prayer this morning. Sherry also asks for prayers for her missionary cousin and her family, who have traveled to the USA on Ethiopian Airlines to Texas and now have a 16-hour road trip to their home in Missouri. We pray for their health and their safe travels. We lift all the joys, the concerns, and the needs of this world before God. Jesus, remember us when you come into your kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done. For your church around the world, we ask new life. Your kingdom come, your will be done. For people who have accepted spiritual disciplines for Lent, we ask inspired discipleship. Your kingdom come, your will be done. For Christians in every land, we ask new unity in your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. For Jews, Muslims, and people of other faiths, we ask your divine blessing. Your kingdom come, your will be done. For those who cannot believe, we ask your faithful love. Your kingdom come, your will be done. For governors and rulers of every land, we ask your guidance. Your kingdom come, your will be done. For people who suffer and sorrow, we ask your healing peace. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We pray for Russ, for Mark, for Ray, for Charles, for Carol's family, for Becky, for Solis, for Clearfield Christian Church and all your churches, for all missionaries and all who need to travel during this time. Your kingdom come, your will be done. God of love, as in Jesus Christ you gave yourself to us, so may we give ourselves to you, living in accordance with your holy will. Keep our feet firmly in the way where Christ leads us. Make our mouths speak the truth that Christ teaches us. Fill our bodies with the life that is Christ within us. In his holy name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus looks at us with love and says, "Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." Covenant and our mission partners need your support. If your home church is a different church, your home church needs your support. To give online with Covenant, go to wdmcovenant.org/donate. Or to give by a paper check, you can mail your check to the church. We welcome your gifts and we dedicate them to God. O God, may our gifts be used to answer the needs of those who seek you, delivering them from their fears, listening to their cries for help, offering refuge to those who are searching for hope. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And our closing hymn this morning is The Church's One Foundation. All who want to follow Jesus must say no to themselves, take up their cross, and follow him. As we follow, may the kingdom of God be made real in our life and in our world. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.